basically as soon as possible, so that we have, you know, probably, you know, nearly a full year of monitoring data before anything else.
So if somehow you found out that you know, that 2 square mile area is an important you know, pass through for different birds, would you consider moving it elsewhere, or what would you end up doing?
We'd have to work with the agencies to adapt to that and come up with the best plan.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if everybody says totally, you know, it makes no sense, then we'll have to look at one of the other test plans.
Do you have any noise studies involved in this? Any sound? How it's going to affect us? Because 2 miles, if I understand right, the site is 2 miles from the island.
Yes, I think the northern border of the site is about 2 miles from the island. Yep, and it goes for about a mile deep.
Yeah, we all know how sound carries on water. So my issue with wind is noise.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my bigger concern for most things. So I'm interested in the noise aspect.
Yep, the what aspects? We've got a team working on the social and human impact as well.
Right, which part of that is?
So that's part of that.
Yep. And most likely we'll look at how to monitor those acoustics right here on island as well.
Yep.
As well as possible mitigation measures. There are a lot of mitigation measures for noise that can be employed, so possibly.
One thing to recognize, to make sure that everybody understands, is that if we do 100 kilowatt scale model, the noise generated from that is different than what's going on in Vinyl Haven or Mars Hill, or the noise is very, the noise generated is very specific to the model and the blade. So certainly as we monitor the test site and understand what the noise signature are, we can adapt to that 100 kilowatt one. If we end up scaling up again, then we'll have to do an additional. It's not one for one match, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Just like one rock and roll song.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's what
I don't. Well, I don't. I'm so not technical. How can you measure noise before you put it there?
Well, what we'll do is we'll have baseline. We'll know if background noise is there before we put anything in, and then we'll know what the noise signature is based on the manufacturer data, and so we'll be able to do some modeling before we put it in. It's equivalent to if you know how loud a song is, you know how, and you can predict how that noise carries over the environment. It's relevant to what is noise is line of sight. It's if you can see it, you can hear it. If you can put a barrier up, right, then it doesn't travel through that barrier. It has to go around it, right? So part of it is knowing what is between here and the test site. Right, and then once you hit shore, where your listening points are. So if we know what background noise is already there, we know what the acoustic signature of this device is, we can predict what the noise level will be based on the line of sight.
Right, but there's nothing between here and there. Right.
No, but when it hits the bluff of the island, what happens?
Lobster Cove will be one.
So what we need to know is what the signature of that. And then there's another part, which is depending on the wind wave environment, which direction the wind's blowing, whether you have fog conditions, anything like that, that changes the acoustic environment. So we'll do our best to try to model that and make an assessment of whether we think that's going to cause anybody any problems based on public standards.
And if it did,
we have to look at tweaking the system. We have to look at adapting.
But if you couldn't, and then what? Do you remove them?
No. We'll have to deal with that at the time, yeah.
No guarantee, though. No guarantee?
No guarantee. We'll have to meet the standards. We'll have to meet the limits. Yeah, I'd love to say we'll take it out tomorrow when someone says, wow, but...
I'll put up a speaker with the with that type of noise. And actually, yeah, I mean, we talked about that today. Yeah, and that's
putting the sound source out there ahead of time.
Yep.
One of the challenges with the noise thing, just to think about it out loud and take into consideration, is that turbines generate noise when they're spinning, and they're spinning when the wind's blowing. Right. On calm, foggy days, they're not spinning, and that's when noise propagates the most.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on which way the wind's blowing, any way the wind blows, right? So that's part of the thing that we've got to understand by putting our GOMOS buoys out there earlier and understanding the wind wave environment and understanding at what wind level we get what acoustic signature and what directions it's going.
With respect to that comment, I hear that a lot. You know, it makes noise when the wind is blowing. Sorry, I'm full. But I've never heard of a wind project that doesn't have a lot of different kind of sounds. I don't know the terminology, subsonic, whatever, the thumping, the different, the whining. That doesn't seem to matter that the wind is blowing. It's still affecting people. Mm-hmm. And I'm so concerned about the noise and the flat ocean thing because acoustics are so tricky. Yeah. So I just really hope that gets looked at, the wind is blowing, so it's going to whoosh then. And, you know, it's so tricky. I really want that to be focused on. And I know I'm not the only voice in the room. Yeah.
We will definitely have our monitoring
There's different kinds of sound.
Before you put anything in the water.
Yeah. Is there a way to share the sound information on sound studies that have been done in Europe?
Yeah.
So and try to maybe compile some of that information about how, because there's like 7,000 of them in the water in Europe.
Right.
There should be some information on that maybe we could.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any as close as 2 miles to land inhabitants?
Oh, much less than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. 200 feet.
To habitation?
Yes.
In Europe, it's mostly shallow water.
Yeah.
It's very close to shore.
Okay.
Sure.
It's kind of a topic. I was wondering how you're going to do the electricity when you start tonight.
As of right now,
everybody bring your extension cord.
Need a long cord to get out there. As of right, the budget right now doesn't include a cable, so the test is not going to be to generate electricity. It's going to be to let the turbine spin under simulated load and measure how it responds. I think that we're open to looking at that, pending budget, but also whether or not, whether it's appropriate to have that discussion at some point in the future with the permitting agencies. But we're not planning on that right now.
Under the test site legislation, we are permitted to run a cable to generate electricity if we want to, or if we meet all the standards to that. As Bob said, right now in this current budget, we don't have enough money for a cable. And so, in a long-term planning vision, if this works and makes sense and we can find the resources for a cable, we'd be very interested in finding a site to use that electricity. There's only one logical site if you look at the cost of cable and how far away you are from everything else.
So you're saying that then you might be able to get a cable to come to Monhegan as opposed to the mainland?
Yeah.
What is the? Is there a wind speed that, like, the cutoff for this design that, for example, the turbine will turn away from it if it's too high?
Yeah.
What is that?
It depends on the turbine by turbine. For a large scale turbine, an industrial turbine, there's a cut in speed usually around. 2 to 4 miles an hour is kind of where where it's going to actually start to cut in and start turning. Then it ramps up and it's delivering its full power at 15, 20 miles an hour. And then beyond that, it just continues as wind speed increases. It keeps delivering that full power up till, depends on the unit, but 30 to 40 miles an hour. At that point, it's going to feather itself. It's going to be under too much load, and it's going to say it's too windy, too gusty. Feather itself and stop turning, and break it out and stop turning.
Is that the one that you were?
I don't know the specs exactly of the one we're looking at, but they're all the large utility ones are all in the same neighborhood, and this would probably be roughly in the same neighborhood, maybe a little bit less wind speed. It'll be a little bit lower than the big utility ones.
Speaking of the platform designs, you said that you visited the Statoil one in Norway.
Yes.
and obviously they don't want to share it with anybody. Do you have any dialogue with, like, for example, Denmark, who is pretty, deep on the wind energy in Europe? Do you have any dialogue with them and potentially are looking at any platforms that they are using over?
Yes. Yeah, we actually, as part of this program, we are also going to be soliciting designs from other designers. And of course, Scatto would be would be eligible to apply. I don't think they'd be interested, but they'd be eligible to apply and submit their design as well. And we have been talking to other platform concept developers in Norway, in the U.S., I think there's a Denmark,
Germany.
I believe there's a Danish company in there as well. And we're gonna put this out publicly and bring us your concept. So if you have a good concept that falls into the design space that we're testing, and it makes sense, and you've done some work on it, and could add value to this, we'll consider it. And we'll have a blue ribbon panel of experts that are going to evaluate the concepts and really pull out of those the best designs.